And it is noon on a Tuesday. So if my voice sounds familiar, it should, because this is Everything Atlanta. My name is Matt Gardner, and joining me today is Mr. Danny Broadway. Good morning and afternoon, Danny.
Good morning and afternoon to you, Mr. Matthew.
How is everybody today? Stone, you look great today, bud.
Well, thank you, sir. I'm doing well. I'm well rested. I had a great trip downtown yesterday. We hung the sign on Studio Number 4.
Oh, I love it.
Right down in front of the Macy's building, right in the heart of downtown, 200 Peace Street. So I'm tickled to death and happy as I can be.
That is great news. So, I mean, it's really been fun to watch you guys and expand and tap into some different markets. And somebody the other day was talking to me about your show, which I kind of overheard that conversation. So I chimed in. And then I also talked to a guy yesterday who was looking to start his own radio show. And, you know, he was looking at some of the economics to do that. And it was a huge investment for him. And he wanted to really do kind of very similar to this format where it was all internet-based. And he was going to get the studio put in his basement and things like that. So I had introduced your concept to him. And he's like, wow, these guys have already figured it out and are step ahead. So he might be giving you guys a call because this is a really neat format. You guys have really been able to put together something pretty special. And again, Danny and I appreciate the opportunity to come to this show, Everything Atlanta. Couple of topics out there before we dive into our guest. You know, I guess, Danny, we'll go down
the
this
challenge.
We'll go down this road of Penn State.
Oh.
I know.
I don't know if that's Everything Atlanta.
It is unbelievable.
Joe Pa, buddy.
I mean, I don't know if you heard the thing with Bob Costas last night on the phone interview he did.
I like boys, but I don't like boys, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, we got into some leapfrog, and all of a sudden,
how many ways can you say that and make me feel uncomfortable? You know, so, I mean, really.
But what's interesting, you know, because Danny and I both have children who are young, very very similar to the age that these poor children were encountered at, and you know, Danny, you and I haven't really talked about it offline, but you know, in our house, it kind of woke us up a little bit about that age group of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. About what do you do? How do you make them feel okay to come talk to you if something happens? Because some statistics out there that I was reading was 1 in 4, 1 in 5 children are, I'll say it, molested from that age group. You know, it's just
I think Matt, it's called to everybody to do that. You know, I can remember last night we started that conversation a little bit with the kids as they were getting ready to get cleaned up for the night and everything. And you know, obviously I've got two girls, so dad steps out of the room now, and they're at that age that I don't need to be in there. And afterwards, just, you know, having that conversation about when is it appropriate, and if this were to happen, who do you come talk to, and not to be embarrassed, come talk to us and let us know. And so, yeah, I think it's challenged everybody in their mind to say, wow, I don't want my kids to be a part of it, and if they are, come talk to me.
Yeah, and even something that my wife and I did as we were talking about it and preventing, you know, what as parents we can do to prevent it, we took a really, really hard look of the people that we are friends with on Facebook. And we, because the majority of our posts as parents and as a family have to do with the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, Emily won her softball championship and Kingston did this and we as a family are doing this. And Brandy and I sat down and went name by name of the people that we're friends with. Because, you know, 2 years ago when you became friends with somebody, you just did it for the thrill of, oh, I got a friend.
Right.
But we started to go through the individual people and ask ourselves the question. It was two questions, really. Number one, with this person who I'm friends with on Facebook, would I allow that person to go pick my kids up from school and allow my kids to stay with them for 2 hours at that person's house alone?
Right.
As we kind of, that was our first filter, if you will, on does this person have the privilege to be able to watch my family? And then we kind of separated out saying, you know, does this person really need to know what we're doing and in our beach trips and things like that?
Right.
And surprisingly enough, I went from 428 friends down to about 305 by going through that process.
Now, did you just do different blocking where they can't see pictures?
No,
and
I just simply went and unfriended.
Delete.
I just went through the effort of just unfriending that person, not to be ugly, but does this person who, you know, I knew as a guy lived across the hall from me at college. Does he really need to know? I mean, because I don't know this person.
Right.
And are they getting their kicks watching kids grow up on the internet? I mean, you got to think about it. If you are the mindset, if you have a sick mind, Facebook is your Cinemax.
Yeah. In a bad way. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because you can watch these kids and beach trips and things like that. So that whole thing really kind of shook up my household. And that's some steps that we did and things like that. But, you know, it's just, you know, Stone, you've got some younger children too. I mean, are you having, but she's older. Your daughter's a little
bit
older.
Well, one of them is older now and in college. But, you know, this was never, it's just so far removed from my frame of reference. It just never would have even been on my radar. But I do have a 14-year-old at home. And she's cute and social and has a Facebook account. And you better believe my antenna came up this week. Man.
Right.
But anyway, I mean, it's a tough situation and something that you want to insure against.
No, I agree. And that's a good lead. But one more thing, I got to bring this up. The challenge last week, we are not joined today. Before we talk about who we're joined by today, we are not joined today by any tent dwellers. I don't think.
I know. No takers from last week?
We're not. We got nothing on Facebook. We got nothing. No contact by email.
You're scared.
They're scared down there in Tent Town, downtown Atlanta. So
they're all in jail.
Yeah, that's right. Most have been arrested. So I hope we can extend that just one more week, and unless we're a little scared. I'm not. But,
well, I've got some feelers out there, Stone. You were if you thought you were impressed with some of the talent we brought through the doors, I've got some really neat feelers out there about some talent we're going to be looking to get on this show. But today's show, actually, we're pretty excited about. And again, the segue was insurance. Danny, I'm going to let you introduce Jason to the program, and we'll go from there.
Sure. I'd like to introduce everyone out there to Jason Ferguson. He is a guy I met actually over the last several months in Johns Creek. Has a company in Jones Creek. I'll let him tell you about what he does. And ran into him at the golf course yesterday and felt like, you know, with all this stuff going on, it'd be a good way to talk about insurance and ways that we can take care of our families and protect their futures and our current belongings. So, Jason Ferguson, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And he is with, the Jason Ferguson Agency.
Yeah, super creative.
Yeah, he went out on a limb on the name. Kind of like Yep, Sir, but I'm just kidding. But Jason has a great background in insurance, and we want to run through a couple of things, you know. And Jason, talk a little bit about the different lines of insurance that we can talk about today and that you handle and can speak to.
Sure, absolutely. My agency is an independent agency, and that means we work for our clients and not for any specific insurance company, which is a big difference. We're contracted with a ton of companies, so we can shop the market for our clients and make sure we fit them into the right market. We do all personal lines, so auto, home, umbrella, life insurance, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We also do small business insurance as well.
Fantastic, yeah. Fantastic. Well, let's, I guess, you know, one of the first things that we could tackle is one of the two that none of us have a choice. I in my mind, you don't have a choice on life insurance, but the two things I think that we have to have are home and auto.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the car insurance industry, and especially on the marketing side, is just out of control.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's, I think, for the first time ever that the political advertising has been beat by car insurance advertising. I mean,
sure.
I didn't think it could ever be done, but
well,
I think
the creativity level is amazing. If you think about just what pops in your mind, a little lizard, a guy, you know, that's riding around called Mayhem. I mean,
the new one where everybody's got a blind side and the guy's like hanging on the side of the car blocking the lady's
all
mirror.
Clear.
Yeah, all clear. Yeah, and the Garmin one. I mean, that guy crushes me. He's great. He's great. But, you know, what's the biggest lie when we're out there shopping for car insurance?
Well, that's the thing is that particular line of advertising from Allstate, the Mayhem, is in direct response to the Geicos and Progressives of the world who, as I see it, the biggest lie, quote unquote, that they're preaching is that your price is the most important thing when it comes to your car insurance. Having a low price.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else matters, but low price. Save time, save money, that's it. And they're not really delving into what the old school insurance agents, as I'll call us, are really concerned about, which is protecting your financial assets, because mm-hmm. that's really what's at risk if you're in a car, you know, car accident, especially. You know, protecting what you've worked hard to earn.
So when you say that, let's say we call, I don't want to name, car insurance company A, I don't want to say Geico or State Farm or whoever. Let's say I pick up the phone, I get this ad, I call them. You know, the key is they've got me to call on price. So they've got to come in cheap, which means I'm definitely not getting probably the highest end of coverage. Now, I may not need it, but if I did, would they bring it up? Because if they were to try to sell me into the policy I need, it might be higher or the same, and I might not switch. I mean, what happens when I pick up that phone and make that call? What is their intention?
Well, two things. One is 99% of the time, you're not actually picking up the phone. You're doing this on the internet.
Sure.
So there's no, you know, consultative approach at all.
Right.
It's a plug and play. They assume that we
insurance.
Yeah, everybody. You know, they assume that we are insurance agents and we know what to do.
Right.
And you just click in here.
Right.
And so there's really not a lot of accountability on that end. If you actually do talk to someone, their first question is, how many cars do you have and what are you paying?
In regards to if I called you, you would sit down and first say not how much are you paying, you would say, what do you need, I guess, right?
Well, kind of. We actually figure out what you have as far as assets and at risk. You know, okay. A lot of people who call my agency, you know, they have a couple autos, a home or two, mm-hmm. and now you're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars of assets that you've built up, you know, as a working class person that you want to protect, because what's going on these days, as we all know, the economy's down, people are broke, so they're suing, and they're suing to get paid. So what used to be a broken leg that was a normal $30,000 or $40,000 hospital bill now is quote unquote pain and suffering and all the other kind of things that go into it that roll up to where the average, you know, for this one, the average broken leg settlement is now up over $90,000. Mm. You know, and if you have the state minimum liability, which this in Georgia is $25,000 for bodily injury. Well, what are you going to do? I mean, how are you going to come up with an additional $70,000?
Right.
You don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Most people don't have it. And so those are the conversations we have at our agency that get people thinking, you know, is that $12 a month really worth, you know, right. your financial security? And, you know, maybe that's, you have to dump your entire 401k
to cover a corner that didn't get
over what you could have done a Chick-fil-A value meal a month.
Right, sure.
You know,
no, absolutely.
That's kind of the way I look at it. And once you put that in terms, you know, that people, you know, they get the wheels turning a little bit, they realize what's going on. And most people, that especially ones that own a home, you know, that have some things going on, they realize value.
Mm-hmm.
And they like having those conversations. And at the end of the day, insurance is peace of mind.
But like you said, you're a broker. So at the end of the day, you can sell, I would think, maybe except maybe Geico, I think they are a little more limited, but besides yeah. Geico, you can sell any insurance that anyone else can sell, right?
Sort of.
Okay.
The big names that you hear, the Allstates, the State Farms, those are captive agencies. And so their agents work for that company, and they're basically the only market.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the bigger ones out there on the independent side that you see are Travelers, Auto Owners, Cincinnati, Safeco, some of those people that okay. are really big in the independent side of things.
Okay.
So we can shop it out to a bunch of those markets. And that's what's nice about independent as well. If when I worked as a captive agent, if you came to me for car insurance, I had one product,
right.
one company.
Right.
And
if
we
your
hoped
rates
it
were
fit.
Up that day, if it's a price shopper, you lost it. Even if you had the knowledge to take care of them,
right.
you would have lost it just on a price war.
Right.
And
so now I
shop.
Have exactly. I have multiple companies where we can fit a round peg into a round hole.
Cool. So you can, I guess what you're saying is you can still get value using an independent agent.
Well, price is still important. I mean,
yeah, no,
none
price
of us,
and
you
value.
Know, yeah,
right.
exactly. None of us can just overpay. And so that's important. But you've got to have these conversations and figure out where that balance is, because we could all be insurance poor. You know, if we bought everything that
sure.
every advisor ever asked us to have, then
right.
I mean, you could not have money for groceries because you had sure. so much insurance. So there's a balance.
Well, on the topic of life insurance, because I know that's something that, you know, everybody's going to die. So, I mean, that is one policy that is going to be used.
Yeah, paid out 100% of the time.
Yeah, it's paid out. We've heard several equations, you know, you need 10 times the amount of income that you're making. Well, when you sit down with Sally and Bob, homeowner, what do you recommend as far as some coverages go? Is it term? Is it whole? I mean, what is the life insurance answer from your perspective?
Well, and that's what's fun about life insurance is it's literally set up individually for that family. And what's important, most people want to replace their income until the kids are out of college and pay off a house. So that's where we start. You know, what are your goals?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your goals are, you know, we both work and we only need X, call it $50,000 a year times 10 years, well, there's your $500,000 and we roll. But a lot of people have big goals for their family. Right. And especially if it's a one income family where there's one bread earner, you know, there's a lot of need there and a lot of vision of what their family could be. And the idea of, well, we can seamlessly replace this income of, you know, over your lifetime, $2.4 million, and your family's trajectory is exactly the same as it is now. You know, obviously they won't have mom or dad there, but at least financially they can do it. Or without it, you have no money to pay even your house. And so now your family is moving out of their house, and they absolutely don't have money for college and things like that. So, you know, the trajectory is so much different on, you know, kind of what the family's goals are.
So are you selling a package of term and whole, or are you dedicated to one of those type of setups?
Well, term insurance is obviously a lot cheaper because there's no cash value built into it. And you'll hear every financial advisor out there say, buy term, invest the difference. And they hate whole life. You know, the Dave Ramseys, the big guys out there, Clark Howard, do not buy whole life policies, which I can't make sweeping claims like that because you may only need a $15,000 death benefit for funeral costs. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're 25 years old, the longest term you can buy is 30 years. Statistically, you're probably going to outlive that policy. So that's a great fit for a little $15,000 whole life policy. Whole life meaning it goes your whole life. You know, so there's a time and a place for all the policies. But usually when you're insuring a big number, term insurance is the most affordable way to go. So most folks use the bulk of their insurance on term coverage.
I think what got confusing for me when I was kind of going through that process was there are multiple types of not whole life, but there's whole life, there's universal life. Universal goes to the end. There's all kinds of different, I don't know. They might be market positioned. Again, I don't know what they're called, whole or ULs. They're ULs on different investment chassis that give higher yields and potential payouts, and you can pull off them later, and they don't die. And you know, all these. What do you say when you sit down and begin to talk to somebody about permanent insurance? That's the word I think I was looking for: permanent versus term. And when you're talking about permanent insurance, you know, I guess it's all about that assessment. I don't know. You know, that's where it gets crazy for me.
Yeah, and it does. And at my agency, we keep it very simple. If somebody needs permanent insurance, we're going to look at just fixed products because it's easy to understand. Mm-hmm. It's like a mortgage loan. Mm-hmm. It's X amount for X amount of years, and if you pay it, you own it.
Right.
If you want variable and things like that, that's where I tell you to talk to a financial advisor and look at things that are, you know, if you want something that's invested in the market, go invest. If you want life insurance, do something that's fixed that can never go down in value. That's the last thing you need in an insurance product is for at some point there to be a oops.
Right.
This didn't perform like we meant to, and the cash value is.
I read an article where all the universal life policies they sold in the 70s were worthless by the beginning of the 90s because they were based on a market that had obviously I was born in early 70s, but that people were actually financing homes at 12 and 14%. And when a bank's getting 12 or 14%, they'll pay you 10 or 11 on a UL instead of 1.8 and 2.3, which is what a whole life pays in the low, you know. Again, I don't understand.
Well, and that's one of the things about universal life.
But they can implode, I think, is...
Absolutely, and that's why I don't even sell that product, because I don't believe in it.
Right.
Because I've seen too many that were projected at 10%, you know, the cash value, and it had to do that for there to be coverage.
Right.
Otherwise, the cost of insurance goes up as they get older,
right,
and the policy eats itself, quote-unquote, as the cash value ends up paying all the cost of insurance.
And then all of a sudden, you do outlive the policy.
Yeah.
And what was supposed to
outlive
be permanent.
a permanent policy. Yeah. So I don't like that at all.
So can they even call that permanent if the potential is there to outlive it? I mean...
Good question,
I think it's kind of... You know, I was sitting there kind of having that conversation, and it was with my investor, so I appreciate you just being honest. You know, I think everyone out there can hear that Jason's not looking to sell you something today. He's really giving you good advice, and that's what we want to bring to the show. But I didn't mean to put you under the gun on that. Those are good answers.
These are the things that I tell every one of my clients, because this is real life.
Right.
You know, they're getting all these mixed messages. My grandparents, your grandparents' generation, will only buy whole life. They love guarantees because they saw so much uncertainty.
Right.
Then the next generation comes, and they will only buy term because they need the cheapest policy.
Right, because the economy is so awesome.
So depending on what decade.
And we're all living in tents, though, right? How's your new tent, buddy? Good?
Yeah.
You got an insurance policy on it?
No, but I'm going to talk to Jason.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
Upgrade your canvas today.
Let's let's shift real quick over to business, because a lot of our listeners out there are part of this because it is Atlanta Business Radio. My question to you is the typical business owner, what is the biggest oversight from an insurance standpoint when you are talking to them and reviewing their policy? Is there something that sticks out like, oh my gosh, you need to think about this because you don't have it? What is that?
Every time, without fail, it's workers' comp. It's for companies that are tiny who just don't, they assume they don't need it. And the need, quote unquote, may not be very high, but it's required by law if you have 3 employees or more. So there's a ton of small businesses out there that have just kind of had that third employee come on.
Right.
And it might even be a spouse who's an employee by name only for all kinds
of
benefits.
What are the fines
purposes
on that if they don't take care of that?
The state doesn't have a clear answer for that. It's kind of ambiguous, but they just say you will be fined.
However much money they need that day.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, let me paint a scenario. Let's say that, you know, Danny and I, we have 8 employees. And we ask employee number 1 to run to the bank for us because Danny and I are busy and put these deposits in and hurry back to the office. And in route, they strike a pedestrian. Are Danny and I liable in this scenario?
Absolutely. The company is, because they're doing company work. So if at any point they're doing company work, then yeah, it comes back to you guys. And obviously there's a chain of when there's multiple insurance companies, the person driving is going to have their personal auto insurance.
Right.
You guys have your liability through your business. So there's a chain of kind of custody there that the claim process will go through, but you guys are liable for any of your employees doing
any good attorney on the opposite side of the courtroom is going to say go after the company because they told that employee to hurry back, you know, those kind of things.
They're
going to
say
happen.
Go after both. Yeah.
Sure.
They're going to see 100,000 there and 1 million here. So, all right, well, we've got 1.1 million to work with.
Right.
We'll start there and see where they'll settle.
Right.
And from the company perspective, when does the insurance kind of bleed over into HR? You know, let's say Danny comes in the office and he and I are having a conversation and we need to let an employee go. And then fast forward 30, 60, 90 days, we're getting sued for whatever the case is. Does our insurance company need to be involved with this, or is it an HR issue? Or?
Almost every general liability policy you have out there is going to have some coverage for those kind of HR issues. So there's some provisions because every business goes through that.
So back up, I think you, to clarify it for me, and I think I understand it now, I think we had 6 months where we did exactly what you said. We were a small company. We had kind of 2-and-a-push employee situation, and we're sitting down reviewing this with an outside agent than the one we had, and we were like, they're like, do you realize you don't have any workman's comp? You're not just in danger. You're breaking laws right now. And we had no idea. And I think we were exposed for several months before we realized. But so if you're going to sit down with a small business, they're a year old, they've got 3 employees, the 2 policies, no-brainer, never mind having some umbrella thing. Like, we kind of, I think, do have that. But the 2 are comp and liability.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, to have them. Yeah.
And we covered liability, and in our mind, we were like, oh, we're good.
Right.
I think we're good, you know.
Right.
Come to find out, literally, we're breaking the laws of the state of Georgia there for a couple of months. I hope they're not recording this. But
and a lot of these small companies are family-owned. So you've got mom, dad, and son.
Right.
You know, and they're like, oh, no. I mean, if Johnny gets hurt, he's not going to sue
me. Yeah.
Health insurance will take care of it.
He'll be living in a tent.
But the conversation I have is,
go pay your student loan.
You know, if a legitimate claim happens and they get hurt on your business, you know, the health insurance, their first thing is going to be that big denial stamp.
Right.
Boom. Go after your workers' comp.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Right. So what's next after that? You know, let's say you lock in the comp and you lock in those 2 main policies. What's next? What are we vulnerable to?
Yeah, you just your agent needs to have a good working understanding of what you do as a business.
Okay.
More of a relationship than in any other part of insurance, because there's so many. I mean, there's 100,000 variations of businesses out there.
Right.
So they need to know exactly what you do, and to be able to assess if there is a special risk, whether it's, you know, an online kind of a risk, or, you know, whether it's
So would you tell somebody to have one of these, just, you know, if there's no, you know, again, we have like an umbrella policy that just covers whatever we're forgetting.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
And it, I don't think it's that deep, but it's wider than it is deep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
umbrella
what you're
policies.
Talking about is knowing somebody that well, you can go deep.
Right.
And if you're in, and then outside of that is maybe to go wide. I don't know.
Well, there are specific, you know, situations where a company like yours needs to look at their online liability.
Right.
You know, and what are you putting out there? Mm-hmm. What kind of damage can be done? And that's not in a general liability policy.
Right.
That's an endorsement that you only uncover that in a conversation with your agent.
Right.
So there's, you know, on the auto and the home, you know, we've been reprogrammed to not even think about it. Just go for the cheapest
right.
and boom, boom, have it done.
Yeah.
On the commercial insurance, you really need to know your agent and have conversations, you know, to make sure they really understand every aspect of your business, especially when you start a new phase of your business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like, a homeowner who builds a big shed in the backyard and forgets to call their agent, you know, if they don't have that conversation about some new risk, well, there may not be coverage. Same thing with a business.
Right.
You know, if you start a new wing, if you are exploring something, you need to talk to your agent and just make sure that there's coverage for that. And generally speaking, it's inexpensive.
Right.
But, you know, a recent client of mine, they decided to start doing some consulting work overseas.
Hmm.
Okay, well, that's a little risk increase. And then the overseas turned out to be some of the Arab countries that are on the State Department's no-fly list.
Yeah.
And woohoo, a little, bit of yeah, whoa, little whoa, risk. Whoa. Yeah, so all of a sudden...
Stone's big in Europe now, but we won't talk about that.
Oh, there you go, there you go.
It's top secret. That's inside X.
Well, yeah, stuff, I think so. They're still on the fly list, so you're okay. So, you know, those are the conversations
right.
you just need to have.
Right. No, that's good information. I appreciate that. You know, and Matt brought up one other thing kind of as we were sitting down, and I think this is valuable based on what happened 2 years ago, not to move away from business. Because well, actually, let me ask you one more business question
okay.
About health insurance.
Sure.
You know, that plugs us every day. How are we going to do it? Who needs it? Who doesn't? Is that a value to my office? Some of the employees at our office are females, so they have males that happen to have it. You know, so it you know, you're kind of in that tussle, but what do you suggest in this nightmare called health? And I mean, to a business owner, the only thing you can walk in the room and talk to me about that I will run away is health insurance.
Sure.
I don't want to understand it. I don't want to
sure.
know about it. It changes every day, and all I know is I pay 10 times what I pay for anything else, I pay in health insurance.
Sure.
So give me 5 minutes and fix health insurance here in America.
Well, yeah. One of the hidden things about health insurance is as those costs have risen, all the claims that are being paid out have risen. So when people call, why are my car insurance or commercial liability insurance rates going up?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because the cost of health care has gone up and the claims that have been paid out. Health insurance is the bane of everyone's existence, I think, when it comes to paying it.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, personally, I don't do the health insurance aspect, and I refer that out to an expert.
Okay, great.
So there's some guys in my office who
so
they
you
are
have a
the
network.
Experts. Absolutely. You
cool.
know, I always say, talk with somebody who is an expert, not a jack of all trades.
Right.
You know the old adage, jack of all trades,
right.
master of none.
Right.
I don't want to be that. And so I network that out to
yeah.
people who are experts in health insurance field. Maybe have them in on a future show.
Yeah. And again, I said it once before and I'll say it again. I mean, twice today, you've said, here's my niche. Here's what I do really well. And here's how I protect people. And here's two different groups that I know that write different type of policies based on investment or based on if you need health insurance.
Well,
so
that's one of the things you want to steer clear of is if somebody says they can do it all.
Right.
Well, are they really covering, you know, all the bases that, yeah. that you need? So,
and as an independent agent, I guess that opens the door to you to be able to do that more than a captive agent who says, hey, I've got to give you over to my Allstate guy or I've got to give you over to my State Farm guy.
Right, and that's where it comes back to my company's motto of we truly work for our clients and not the insurance companies.
Right.
If it's in your best interest, we're going to do it.
Right.
Regardless of the bottom line or, you know, whether we should be or shouldn't be.
Awesome.
Yeah. One of the things I think we were kind of going to delve into is the weather of the last couple of years.
Yeah.
One of the big ones is hail damage. You know, mm-hmm. everybody's roof has probably been replaced in the
sure.
last 2 years.
Sure.
Specifically in Georgia, that's why your home insurance rates have gone up.
Oh, okay.
They have paid so much in replacing roofs that they've got to recoup that to stay profitable. So
right.
that's out there. The other aspect was a lot of flooding.
Mm-hmm.
One of the explicit, you know, things that are not covered in any homeowner's policy is flood.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't even understand flood. You know, they think a pipe burst in my house and flooded my home. Mm-hmm. No, that's not flood. That's bursting of a pipe.
Right.
Flood is like the Noah's Ark kind of flood. It's the rising of waters, you know, tidal waters around your home.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's not covered under a homeowner's policy. And not many agents make that clear, and not many.
Well, I've heard a lot of homeowners, you can't even get flood insurance.
I mean, well, it's not just, covered it's under not our policy. You have to buy it through FEMA, you know, the flood insurance program.
Really?
Yeah, so, and they redraw those maps every couple of years to try to encompass more people.
To get the more policies.
Well, if you think
paying.
About it, Atlanta 100 years ago had, you know, didn't have nearly this amount of asphalt. Mm-hmm. So the water soaked in or ran into natural streams. Now that you have all this asphalt everywhere, water can't soak in, so then it ends up rushing into places where it's not supposed to. Now all of a sudden you've created a flood zone that
sure.
wasn't intended
yeah.
by, you know, by God. So
yeah, no, I heard a lady speak on that one time about how that even affects, you know, obviously the hot and cold more than Al Gore controlling the internet and the weather. you know, he was talking about how even having all that concrete downtown and around now warms. And that warmth also is changing the snow and the rain. And, I mean, it's crazy when
yeah.
you think about how much they were talking about how many square miles of concrete are
well,
out
watch,
there.
Yeah, watch every night on the weather. It's 45 inside 285, and it's 35
yeah.
out in the suburbs.
Yeah. Because you know, the concrete can literally move the temperature anywhere from 3 to 5 degrees is what they were saying
yeah,
downtown.
It's unreal. Which obviously that changes a lot of things. But the flood is something that you really just need to call your agent. They've got an outlet to write that insurance.
Yeah.
And if you're not in a high-risk flood zone, it's not expensive.
Yeah.
It's usually about $350, $400 a year,
hmm.
which isn't something anybody really wants to pay unless you've had a flood.
Right.
Then you're really happy to pay that.
So why do insurance companies, why do they advertise car insurance like, you know, every 10 minutes and whatever
sure.
you're doing. Why don't they do that with home insurance? The money's just not there in the home?
Exactly. Two reasons. The money's not there, and most people's homeowners is tied up in the escrow account with their mortgage, and it's kind of one of those out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
So they don't want to draw light to it. It's easier to switch off auto. There's more profit on
that side. And
then
sell the home when they get the auto.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll give you 10% off your auto if you'll throw your home at me.
You got it. So they're more interested, especially if you... The bulk of the advertising is not necessarily from the independent agents who really want to do a good job side of things.
Gotcha.
The bulk of the advertising is from the quick and dirty, you know, we want to save you X amount right now.
Yeah. No, that makes sense to me. I figured that's the answer. But well, Matt, do you have any more questions for him here?
No, I mean, it's, you know, like you said, the first thing was everybody needs it. And I think, and you could probably state it better, but being able to go to 1-800 whatever or what, you know, .com, what is the advantage of an independent agent in the relationship of personal and business and auto and things like that?
Well, yeah, having somebody that knows you is a big deal. And I'm trying to take it back to the kind of 1950s era of walk into my shop and let's shake a hand, let's get to know each other, and let's have conversations. Mm-hmm. And if you don't need it, I'm not going to sell it. But if you do need it, we need to talk mm-hmm. about it. And the last thing I want to hit is what almost no one has out there, you never will see an advertisement for it, but it's an umbrella policy
mm-hmm,
on
mm-hmm.
the personal side of things.
Oh, really?
You know, if you think about car insurance,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you have an accident on the car insurance side, it's really not that hard to envision $200,000 or $300,000 of medical bills. You know, you break grandma's femur, she
right.
has to be in traction, she goes to rehab, she's on meds. All that
yeah,
stuff.
She's disabled
up.
For the next 43 years.
Right,
yeah.
right. And so, you know, you can get up into the hundreds of thousands of dollars of claims.
Right.
And even if you have decent car insurance coverage, it might not be enough. So an umbrella policy is out there. I recommend
every person.
And
they're not that expensive.
No,
that's
they're really inexpensive. I call them no-brainers.
Yeah.
You know, if you own a house and if you have more than, you know, $100,000 in assets, really.
Right.
You need to get one. It's usually $200 or $300 a year for
right.
$1 million. And it's written so vaguely that there's actually provisions for slander and libel.
Right.
Which, here, are you ready for it? All right. Here's your fun fact for the day.
Right.
Kid gets online, really frustrated at school, writes, "My teacher touched me."
Mm-hmm.
You know, just frustrated, says something dumb on Facebook like they do. Well, that could get that teacher in big Sandusky-type
sure.
issues.
Sure.
Well, now mom and dad are held liable because their kids put that out there.
Hmm.
So, you know,
all of a sudden, that teacher's living in their house because they own it.
You got it.
Yeah.
So an umbrella policy a lot of times is written so vaguely that there's coverage even for slander and libel. And in today's social media network,
yeah.
you know, you can't control your kids and what they put out there. So it's kind of a smart thing to do for your basic homeowner and auto insurance client.
Yeah, that's great information. And I think I could talk about that. I mean, there's stuff out there like, you know, people getting to buy insurance, not for my home to burn down, but like if my dishwasher breaks and if my air conditioning goes out and if, you know, and I see that all the time. And I've got buddies in the neighborhood who bought it and just got a $10,000 air conditioner for $50, you know, a deductible for $100 or $150 all the way down to, you know, this other guy bought it and it didn't cover it, you know. And so, I mean, there's so many different insurances out there. I think that's where it gets confused and where you need to have a guy like Jason who I can pick up the phone real quick, say, man, I've got 9 holes of golf real quick this afternoon. If you just meet me and go through this with me and tell me if this is a good opportunity.
And I highly recommend taking me to golf.
That's right.
To have those conversations.
It's one of the best rates.
Yeah, it's amazing. The policies
really good discounts on the golf course.
Yeah. So
especially in the bunker, huh?
Well, I saw Stone over there signing some paperwork. What, did he sell you right here? What are you?
I've got to get a consultation after the show because I've had some stuff happen around the house. You got me scared. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat now. You and I got to talk.
Yeah. And I would say anybody who out there who has a basement, you know, one of the things, there's a lot of basements around Atlanta.
Yeah.
Talk to your agent about water backup coverage.
Yeah.
Again, not included on your normal homeowner's policy.
Is that right?
Yeah. So if the water backs up from the sewer system, or if your sump pump doesn't work properly.
Yeah.
That stuff's not covered.
Wow.
So, that's like a $40 endorsement. So just have the conversations. Annually.
Wow.
Yeah, so just have the conversations.
I wonder if Liberty would have told me that on the telephone when I bought my home insurance. I don't know.
A good agent would.
Yeah, that's what I hear. So that's awesome, Jason. Well, I'll give you, we always, with all our guests who volunteer their time for our audience, we give them a couple of plugs. I want you to tell people, give some phone numbers, some websites, some however you want somebody to reach out if they happen to not have made that decision and want a second look from a personal agent. Tell us where they find you, where you're at. Give yourself a quick
plug. Sure. My office is over in Johns Creek or Duluth, whichever you want to call it. I mean, because the border meanders.
They don't even have a post office yet, so it doesn't
count. Exactly. It doesn't really count. But you can find me online at www.thejfagency.com. That's short for Jason Ferguson. You can find a lot of information on there. The easiest thing is just reach out, you know, either online or give me a call. Phone number is 678-807-6090. Let's have a conversation. Yeah, that's what I tell everybody. Let's start there, and then we'll figure out if I can help you.
Awesome. No, that's great, Jason. I really appreciate it. Everybody out there, if you are looking for that, please, this guy's great at what he does. Give him a call, and we appreciate him volunteering his time.
Now, thank you for the time.
No, thanks for being here. But also, I've got to say sorry to Mike Boddicker. I just made a joke about not having a post office. Mike's the mayor in Jones Creek. So if you're listening, buddy, I still love you. All right, Matt Gardner.
Yes.
You are looking like you've got something important to say.
As always.
And we are going to give our end of everything Atlanta at the end of every show. We let Matt give us the internet moment of the day. And why don't you tell us how we can increase our businesses on the internet?
Well, before I do that, it's interesting enough, back in February of 2011, the office there at Yepser, we wrote a blog on the 5 tips for parents to keep their kids safe on Facebook. And I'd like to kind of, you know, if you want to read the whole thing, you can go to the Yepser blog right there from our website.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be a good internet moment of the day.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, because on the heels of what's going on up there in Penn State, and, you know, Stone, this would be very appropriate for you. As your children get to the point where the peer pressures are, you know, you got to get on Facebook, you got to get there. Well, what are some steps that parents can do? Number one, if you have a child that's about to enter into that age, you as a parent need to make the decision, are they mature enough? That is number one. Can they handle this responsibility of making their life available to the world? Number two, if the answer is yes, then you want to set up a Facebook account, Twitter account, whatever the case. You want to set it up with them because you want administrative rights. You want the username and password. You want to be able to monitor and set up notifications that if people do write on their wall or send them direct messages, you're copied on that on an email. So that way you can see, and if a friend request comes in, and coach them and educate them on how to be a savvy and safe participant of things like Facebook. Without doing that, you know, Stone, it'd be like dropping your kid off at a fraternity house at the age of 13, 14, and 15 and say, hey, just do what I taught you and be safe while you're there. No, you don't want to do that. You want to help guide them, and it's a privilege, just like driving a car. And if they screw it up, or if they're making mistakes, or they make bad grades, take away their Facebook account, and you'll get their attention, and they'll make better grades just because they're left out of the social media world. So, again, this we have the five tips. We did this for Kevin and Taylor in the morning back in February. But the five tips that parents need to know when their kids get to an age where Facebook might be part of their life, and it's just you know, that whole thing that's swirling around up there, you know, hopefully people will take the time and have some conversations with their family and to make sure that they insure themselves against predators that are out there, which Facebook is definitely has a lot of that going on. But nonetheless, again, this social media tip was brought to you by the folks, the good folks over at Yepser.
How do you spell Yepser, Matt?
You spell it with the silent T.
Okay.
Okay? So it's Y-E-P-S-E-R.
Perfect. Perfect. Not Yepster, not to be confused with the other company. Yepster.
Or yes, sir.
That's
yes,
right. Sir. Or yes, sir. That's what Matt's wife tells him.
Yep, sure.
So Yepser.com. Please visit us today. We always enjoy doing the show. We always enjoy being with everything that is Atlanta. And we ought to give a quick plug for Radio X. They've got a great Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
So whether
we do have a fine
Facebook page. That's right. So check out the Radio X page or check out the Yepser page, and you can get involved with social media and how we're affecting the world. So
that's right. And as always, you don't know anything Atlanta until you've listened to Everything Atlanta every Tuesday at noon here on Business Radio X.